Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and this time we've finally been able to leave our remote studios and meet face-to-face once again. We're at the Defence and Security Equipment International Exhibition in London, and we'll be getting a flavour of the technology on display here at the BAE Systems stand later. Plus, we'll be announcing the winners of our competition. And joining us, of course, is BAE Systems Chief Executive Charles Woodburn, in person, in the flesh. Charles, really good to see you again. How are you?
Fantastic, and great to be in the same room as you again, Tim.
And likewise, and you're looking well and fit and healthy.
The same for you, Tim.
Well, you're too kind. Well, listen, we'll chat about the stand and the activity here at DSEI shortly. First of all, though, Charles, did you manage to have a bit of a summer break, anything of a staycation for you?
I did. It was a bit of a mix. Time with the family for about a week, and then we had a week in Canada, which was very nice and good to connect a bit with my wife's relatives over in Canada.
Well, we last spoke on the day of the half-year financial results at the end of July. How did your conversations with investors go after those results?
Well, Tim, as we discussed at the last show, it was a strong set of results, thanks to everyone's outstanding efforts across the entire company. And since we last spoke, Brad and I have engaged with many of our key investors, both in the UK and the US, the vast majority of which have been virtual conversations. Although, for the first time since the pandemic started, we did have a face-to-face investor presentation, which was just great again to start doing some of these things once more. The discussions have been positive and constructive, with a lot of interest in our sustainability agenda, particularly from our UK investors.
Okay, now also, Charles, you've just made an important announcement, I believe. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, Tim, as you say, we're recording today from our stand here at DSEI, one of the largest defence and security exhibitions. And it was here in London today that I was delighted to announce that we have acquired InSpace Missions, an independent designer, manufacturer, and operator of satellites and satellite systems based in Hampshire in the south of England. This is a really exciting step as we extend our reach into the space domain, which is an area that's increasingly important for our customers.
Well, to find out more about that, I spoke earlier to Doug Liddle, CEO of InSpace Missions, and asked him to tell us about the technologies they specialised in.
So InSpace Missions is a small satellite prime. We deliver customers to orbit. We work with people who've got fantastic ideas and want to get into orbit, and we help them do that. We have typically used a co-hosting approach where we get multiple customers onto their payloads onto a single satellite. We also have developed an uploadable software-defined satellite approach as well. That means that the right customer can come along. We've got the wideband RF reprogrammable capability in orbit to be able to get them in space in space of weeks rather than the typical 3 to 4 years that normally you'll see in the sector from sort of first concept to actually having something up there flying.
Well, Doug, tell us a bit more about LEO then, Low Earth Orbit Satellites. What's that all about?
Sure. So low Earth orbit satellites, or LEO, satellites are hugely important in our sector. They not only the fact that you're physically only a few hundred kilometres above the Earth, which means that you can get really high resolution images of things on the ground, and that's images and videos and all sorts of things in different frequency bands, but you can also get very low latency communications. Because you're low enough, you're flying under the worst of the radiation belts, which means you can actually reuse a lot of consumer technology in space, which means you've got access to really interesting high-end terrestrial commercial off-the-shelf tech that you can make use of. Also, it's readily accessible for a wide range of launch vehicles, and notably launch vehicles that could be launched out of the UK in the coming years.
Also with us is Julian Cracknell. Julian's the Managing Director of Applied Intelligence. Julian, what's your view of the importance of LEO satellites?
The other reason why LEO satellites are so important is because of the cost of access. And so the ability to launch a satellite to LEO is now relatively cheap, and the price is coming down all the time. And that's a really significant change over the last few years. And what that means is that it's effectively democratizing space. It allows more and more organizations to have access to space-based capabilities, and that's creating the market that Doug and Tony and the team are focused on. So I think it's a really, really interesting place to be at the moment.
And Julian, you must be very pleased to welcome Doug and his team to the business.
I'm absolutely delighted. Within Applied Intelligence, we have had a whole set of space capabilities for the last few years. So things like doing the secure telemetry and tracking for the European Space Agency, which we effectively allow them to monitor all of their space-based equipment. We also do quite a lot of work with DSTL, the UK government's research organisation, around the use of secure communications with space. But while we have these incredible technologies, it's been quite fragmented. And what bringing InSpace into the team and with Doug and Tony's leadership, I think, allows us to do is to consolidate that together into a combined offering, a consolidated set of capabilities. And this is part of a broader strategy. There are other elements that will then follow on from this in terms of creating both, a fantastic commercial offering, but particularly a military offering for our defence customers around the globe.
And finally, Doug, what does it mean to now be part of BAE Systems? I imagine you're quite excited.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very excited to be part of BAE Systems. It's quite emotional. I was mentioning earlier, myself and the CTO, Tony Holt, both have different reasons for holding BAE Systems in such high regard. The thing that got me very excited about space in the first place was 1986 Rosetta, when the probe went to Halley's Comet and actually imaged the comet's nucleus, which is the thing. I watched it live on TV as a 14-year-old and was absolutely, biting my fingernails down to the quick. It was so exciting that we were able to do that. And then I found out that British Aerospace built that probe, and it was like, oh wow, that's fantastic, BAE. My colleague and co-founder Tony Holt, CTO, he actually saw the probe in Bristol in Filton before it was launched, because his dad worked for and actually stood up a large part of the space capability in British Aerospace in the 60s and 70s, and was actually the MD of space and comms for British Aerospace in the 90s. So actually, for us, it's a bit of a, for me, it's coming back and seeing the thing that got me excited in the first place, and for him, it's very much coming home. So yeah, we're really excited to be part of the team. And then, there's the capability, those pockets of deep technology all around BAE Systems that we can grab hold of and find ways to collaborate with and bring into what we're doing, and really, enhance our offering, as well as being able to offer what we can do back to those areas. So that's hugely important for us.
So that was Doug and Julian. Thanks to them for joining us. Charles, sounds like great news for the company then.
Well, I'm delighted to welcome Doug and the InSpace team to BAE Systems. As Julian said, this acquisition is exciting news for our Applied Intelligence business, but also for our wider company and for our customers. We've been active in the space domain for decades, with expertise in waveforms, electronics, and secure communications technologies that have helped track satellites during missions more than 1 billion kilometers from Earth. And with this acquisition, we'll be able to support our customers' communications, intelligence, imaging, and positioning needs by combining our highly secure, defense-grade space communications technology with InSpace Missions' experience in designing, manufacturing, and operating satellites in low Earth orbit. And with the combination of capabilities we're bringing together through this acquisition, we can invest in developing satellites as a sovereign capability.
Okay, coming next, we'll be talking more about DSEI.
Our conversation.
Well, Charles, we're here then on the BAE Systems stand at DSEI. Give us your impressions of the event, because it's being run slightly differently, isn't it, compared to previous years?
Well, Tim, yes, it's great to be here at DSEI, especially as the pandemic led to uncertainty over whether a physical event could actually even take place this year. And as you'd expect, there is more of an online presence with greater focus on virtual presentations and displays. But the physical event gives us a fantastic opportunity to meet face-to-face with our customers and government officials and other stakeholders as we showcase our advanced defence and security technology.
And what's the main theme then for the BAE Systems displays this time?
Well, Tim, our presence at the show focuses on continuing to provide our customers with a critical advantage, with a particular focus on how we're integrating our platforms and data. And that's demonstrated in the technology you can see here on display. We're showcasing everything from large platforms such as Typhoon, the CV-90 and Type 26, through to smaller products like the Stryker helmet and technologies that support data transfer. We're also highlighting our commitment to sustainability and our target to achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions across our operations by 2030.
And I know that you've been able to speak with customers and colleagues here. What sort of feedback have you been getting?
Well, as you know, Tim, I really value spending time with our customers. I'm always very proud to show them the best of BAE Systems. And today we've had some great conversations around the digital transformation, around Tempest, around the CV90, and around APKWS, just to name a few of the programs and products that we have here.
Well, we've also been meeting colleagues here to look at the technology and equipment they're showcasing and to get their impressions of the event.
My name is Lena Gillström and I'm the Vice President and General Manager for the Swedish business called BAE Systems Bofors. We are showcasing the naval gun systems that we have, and it's 57mm guns and 40mm guns and ammunition. And those were recently selected for the Type 31 program here in UK. So that is the first time we are going to deliver those to the Royal Navy. So looking forward to that. We are also showcasing the Archer mobile howitzer system. That is a system that is modular design and can be integrated onto different vehicles. And depending on customer requirements, it's easy to adapt. We have both met with customers, we have met with partners and BAE colleagues as well. Really good and fruitful discussions. It feels really, really good to be able to meet face to face because it's been very strange for everyone, and we have been used to doing everything digital, and that has worked, but it can never replace the face to face meetings.
I'm Stephen Barnes and I work in the technology delivery team. Today my role is involved in the new electric products business at BAE Systems, and we're really excited today that we're showcasing the T650. So the T650 is a heavy lift electric uncrewed aircraft system which we're going to be developing through a collaboration with Malloy Aeronautics, and it provides a cost effective and sustainable alternative to traditional delivery systems. So that could be for casualty evacuation of injured service personnel. It could be for military stores deployment, or it could also be for military logistics. It does look like a drone. It's a much larger version of drone, and what it does is it fills the space between typical drones, which would carry payloads of 10, 20, 30 kilos maybe, and a helicopter, which can provide other delivery systems, which is obviously a lot more expensive and a lot less sustainable. We've had so many questions. We've had some really great feedback from the press briefing today where we've announced this exciting collaboration.
My name is Robin Gallagher. I'm the Head of Business Winning Capability in Maritime Services. Our key message today for Maritime is about how we provide integrated and digital solutions that enable informed decision making and that really offer a military advantage through data exploitation. And so we've got a number of interactives to help tell that story. And we've also got the Type 26 model and the Type 26 walkthrough, which really blends the digital with the real-life build of the programme. The sort of things customers are saying to me are, you know, it's great to be back, it's great to be face-to-face. I think we've really missed that interaction with our customers, and so we're really trying to exploit that whilst we're here.
My name is Tommy Gustafsson-Ask. I'm the Vice President and General Manager of BAE Systems Hägglunds in Sweden. We're doing CV90 that we're showing here at DCI and the BVS10. So we're doing military vehicles, and we're a bit unique in the sense that we're doing 80-90% on export. So we have a good home customer in Sweden, but export is the core. CV90 is an infantry fighting vehicle. Infantry fighting vehicle is a tracked armored vehicle with the main purpose to defeat other infantry fighting vehicles. The other vehicle is a BVS-10. It's a articulated steered tracked vehicle, so it has two bodies. It steers between the front and rear body. It has rubber tracks, so it's also amphibious. It can swim over a river. So it can be used as a support vehicle or as a transport vehicle for soldiers in extreme terrain, because this goes everywhere. It can swim, it goes in deep sand, it goes in snow. I think it's important to be here. I'm very glad to be here, to be able to show the hardware with the CV90 and the BVS10. And it gives me the opportunity to face existing customers, new customers, but also meeting some of our supply chain. So for me, it's very important to be here.
I'm Mivy James, Digital Transformation Director at BAE Systems Applied Intelligence. I'm Chris Poole, Head of Pre-Sales for Applied Intelligence across government.
This has been quite varied. We had somebody come in earlier to come and talk to us, and he was interested in hearing more about Applied Intelligence, didn't really know anything about us, and he was very interested in our data and digital stuff. And so we went through some examples of some of the kind of big deliveries we've done in that space, so some transformation and things. And I take it as a success because he connected with me on LinkedIn almost immediately afterwards. I was asking which commercial frameworks we were on. So that kind of makes it all worthwhile and felt like a quick win for the first morning. So
I was talking to someone who was really interested in what we do in terms of defensive cyber. So he'd seen a bit of what we do, wanted to know more. And again, he's keen to link up with us later, sort of details, which is great.
Well, Charles, you must be very impressed by the efforts of all involved. Some very interesting impressions there.
I'm incredibly impressed, and I'd like to thank all the teams who work so hard to make sure we have such a fantastic presence here at DSEI. And really, one of the highlights for me is actually seeing people face to face. Many of us have talked remotely in the last 18 months, and actually to bring people together, see people face to face, customers, our employees, that's been a real highlight for me.
And it seems to have been a big thing for everybody, doesn't it? I mean, it's almost like a unique event for all of us again.
Indeed, it's gone on for a long time, and it's just so refreshing to actually have face-to-face meetings.
Okay, Charles, for the moment, thank you. Coming up next, we've got our competition winners.
Our conversation.
Now, last time we gave you the chance to win either Bose or AirPod Pro earphones. The question was about Charles's trip to Wharton, and we asked you to name the important customer he engaged with there. So let's listen to that moment from the last podcast.
I recently visited our Wharton site with our main customer in the UK, Sir Simon Bolham.
Charles there speaking on the last podcast. So the answer is Sir Simon Bolham. And we have five winners drawn at random from the correct entries. They are Ian Page, Lucy Wright, Steve Wooten, Junaid Ahmed and Stuart Quinn. Congratulations to all of our winners, and I hope you enjoy your prizes. Now, Charles, a highly anticipated and much enjoyed recognition program is the Chairman's Awards. I understand that the nominations deadline is fast approaching, and you're keen that as many people as possible get involved.
Absolutely, Tim. As we've said on the podcast before, the Chairman's Awards are such an important way to recognize and celebrate the work we're all so proud of. Everyone has until Friday, 22nd of October, to nominate a team or individual for a Chairman's Award. And this year we have four new categories to choose from. The categories cover excelling for our customers and advancing our technology solutions. They also give us an opportunity to recognize colleagues who are driving operational excellence, often by introducing small incremental changes that end up making a huge difference. And those who are helping us to build a sustainable future, whether by investing in our people and communities, reducing emissions, or by putting employee safety and well-being first. So there really is something for everyone. Please do get involved.
Well, we look forward to the Chairman's Awards, and no doubt we'll be focusing on them in future editions of the podcast. Finally, Charles, we're well into the second half of the year. What are your priorities for the business for the remainder of 2021?
Well, Tim, we had a good set of results for the first half, but of course now the pressure's on to work equally hard and make sure we deliver on our commitments for the second half. That means maintaining our focus on operational excellence by delivering on our promises to our customers and continuing to enhance our efficiency and competitiveness. And as we've discussed here today, we'll be working hard on various aspects of sustainability, both in terms of driving towards our net zero carbon emissions goal and building a diverse and inclusive workplace. We also have to maintain our relentless focus on safety, which is our number one priority.
Well, many thanks, Charles, and it really is good to be back doing this face to face. See you again next month. And thanks to everyone here at DSEI. We'll be back next month with more news and features from across the business. But until then, from me, Tim Smith, and Charles Woodburn, it's goodbye.
Our conversation back next month.